Well, today we are in week two of a short two-week series about the symbols of our faith, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And symbols are important because they communicate things to us. Randy talked about how emojis are one of the major ways we communicate today. And just looking at a symbol, you can see something, see what it means. But symbols also help us remember and remember important things especially. Take the American flag. Leading up to Memorial Day weekend next week, we're going to see flags all over all the towns that we live in. And those flags will remind us of the ultimate sacrifice that men and women in our armed forces have made for us to defend our freedom. And we celebrate Memorial Day every year just so that we never forget their sacrifice and remember that freedom isn't free. Well, the two symbols of our faith, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they actually serve the same purpose and more. They remind us. Randy talked about baptism last week, and every time we see someone baptized in believer's baptism, it reminds us of Jesus' death, his burial when they're lowered under the water, and his resurrection, that Jesus didn't stay dead. It's a reminder of us. Now, baptism reminds us that Jesus died. The Lord's Supper reminds us how he died with its two symbols of the cup and the bread. The bread reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us, and the cup reminds us that Jesus' blood was shed for us. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, it's a visceral reminder that we touch and we taste so that we never forget what Jesus did for us. Unfortunately, like baptism, sometimes the Lord's Supper can also be confusing and maybe a bit controversial, but usually it's more confusing than controversial because we do it different ways. I will never forget the first time I ever led a Lord's Supper as a pastor. Fonda Hundle, who incidentally leads our Lord's Supper ministry here, she and her husband Tom invited me to attend a Walk to Emmaus reunion service at a church in Freeport with them. Now, if you don't know what Walk to Emmaus is, I don't have time to explain it to you, but if you're ever invited on one, strongly consider going. I've never met someone who regretted that they went. It's a really good experience that'll remind you of the love of Jesus Christ for you. Well, anyway, so we were at this reunion of people from all different denominations, Christian denominations, who had been to a walk, and they were having a reunion to remind themselves of what all they had learned on that walk. And at the end of this walk, we took the Lord's Supper. And so, you know, I had not yet become really the pastor. I was this soon-to-be pastor of this new church in town back then called Brazos Point Fellowship. Nobody had really heard of us yet. So when they started to do the Lord's Supper and they asked all the pastors to come forward to help serve it, I just sat there. I wasn't even thinking about it. Like I said, we'd not even had our first service yet. But Fonda nudged me. She said, "Greg, going up there, you're our pastor." And so I didn't really know what I was doing, but I went on up. You know, I thought, well, I'll just watch and figure it out. And I've been doing it for 20 years, you know. Just kind of watch, be quiet until I figure it out. So anyway, so I went up there, and what was confusing to me was they did the Lord's Supper differently than I had grown up. As a Baptist, we always had trays with bread and the cup, and we passed them down the rows. And everyone picked one up, and then we all took it together. But they did this Lord's Supper a different way. They did what was called intinction. And in intinction, what you do is everyone comes up to the front of the auditorium or the worship center. They pick up a piece of bread from a tray, and then they dip it in the chalice that has wine in it. They dip it in there, and then they take it. And so I went up there. They handed me and another pastor a chalice of wine, and I stood there, and two other people had bread trays. So the four of us stood across the front in the center aisle of this church, and two lines began to form and come towards us. And so I just kind of listened and looked at what the other pastor did, and I said the same thing he said to everybody when they came up, and everything went well. It went fine until this one lady came up, and she just kind of had a different look in her eye. She came up, and she took the bread and popped it in her mouth. Then she grabbed my chalice. I was still holding it. She grabbed it and kind of pulled on it, and I pulled back. And we literally, during the Lord's Supper, we had this brief little tug of war, and I thought, I don't want to make a scene here. I don't know what's going on. But I let go of it because she was not giving up. Man, as soon as I let go, she took that chalice and she chugged it. And as the minute she chugged it, there were about 10 people behind my line and 10 people in the other line. All the people in my line just kind of stepped over and merged into the other line. And now they had 20, I had none. That wasn't confusing anymore. I could tell that I was finished, and so I put my chalice, I put it down on the altar and went back to my seat. And I thought, well, now that's an experience I will never forget, and I haven't, you know. So the different ways we serve the Lord's Supper can be confusing, but as I've looked at all the different ways it's done, I think they're all appropriate. They all have a biblical background to them, how they're done. But what's not so appropriate is the controversy sometimes, and it centers around the meaning of Lord's Supper. And some churches teach that there is salvation power. They call it theologically salvific power, that salvation power in taking the Lord's Supper. And that's just simply not true, because that contradicts the message of the gospel. Our salvation, or our forgiveness of sins and our guarantee of eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ, that comes strictly and completely through God's grace, his gift, his undeserved gift to us, that we receive it through faith, not through any elements like the Lord's Supper that some would call sacraments. It's a gift we receive. The Lord's Supper is a symbol. It's an important symbol, but it is still a symbol that Jesus commanded us to practice. Randy said something about baptism last week that I think can be applied to the Lord's Supper as well. And he said this, he said the Lord's Supper, or he said baptism, and I will say this about Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is neither insignificant nor indispensable, but it is extraordinarily important because of what it teaches us, what it communicates to us, and what it reminds us of. Both baptism and Lord's Supper are important in that they remind us of Jesus' death so that we never, ever forget. Now, believer's baptism, something you do by being immersed in water after you stepped over the line of faith, that's going public with your faith. Believer's baptism, you only do once. And it's the next step right after you step over the line of faith. But the Lord's Supper is something we do over and over again. It's something we do repeatedly to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. The Lord's Supper is this community experience that we do together. We enjoy the Lord's Supper to proclaim the Lord's death and remind one another. And the Bible says this, that we who are many are one body. Write this down if you're taking notes. Let the Lord's Supper remind you today that we who are many are one body in Christ. It's a community event. It's a communal event. That's why it's often referred to as communion or communion of the saints. It reminds us that we are family. We identify with Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection when we are baptized. And we identify as the church come together when we take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was, by the way, it was born out of another symbolic meal, the Jewish Passover. And it's the Jewish Passover, which is still celebrated today by Jews all around the world. It's a reminder of the night in Egypt when God's death angel, who is executing the 10th of 10 plagues against Egypt to make them let Israel go out of slavery, when the Lord's death angel passed over all the Jewish homes because they had each sacrificed a lamb that night for the supper, and then they took and they painted some of the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, the outside door frames of their houses. And when the Lord's death angel passed over, they spared all the Jews from that death, that 10th plague that night. And so ever since then, the Jews have celebrated the Passover meal to remind them. But see, before Jesus came and became the final sacrifice for us, people always needed the shedding of blood to pay the penalty for their sins. The Passover meal reminded Hebrews of that God forgave their sins and rescued them from slavery. Well, the Lord's Supper reminds us that Jesus forgives our sins once for all. Open your Bible to Mark 14:22, and I'll explain that. Mark is in the New Testament of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, we're going to put the words on the screen. If you're watching online, they'll also be on the screen as well. If you have a Bible, though, Mark is in the New Testament of the Bible. And so if you're using a Bible, flip about three-fourths of the way through. Mark is in the beginning of the New Testament. It's one of the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are four gospels or stories, four different eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. You can just pick one up at the Welcome Center on your way out. We have both English and Spanish translations of that for you. Well, Jesus was celebrating that Passover meal with his disciples. It would be the last time he would eat with them until he went and died on the cross. But he created a new symbol. It's interesting that we call that first Lord's Supper the Last Supper with Jesus. It was his last supper with them, but it was our first Lord's Supper. Follow along with me in Mark chapter 14. It says, while they were eating, that's Jesus and his disciples, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And he was predicting what was about to happen, but they had no idea what he was talking about. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." He would die, be buried, and rise again from the grave before he would eat another meal with them. And see, only later, after his death and resurrection, would his disciples realize that Jesus had become the final Passover lamb. He'd become the final sacrificial lamb to rescue the world, not from human slavery of sin, but from the slavery, human slavery in Egypt, but from the slavery of sin. Now, when Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood," he was creating symbols. The disciples were not eating his flesh. They were not drinking his blood. You know, he'd kind of freaked everybody out earlier in his ministry when he said, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't take part in my life." And that freaked a lot of people out, and they didn't stick around to see what he meant, and a lot of people pulled away. And so there were rumors that people would say, "Are they going to do that?" Jesus was being symbolic. It was bread, and it was wine. They were symbols, important symbols. And Jesus used those symbols to foreshadow the sacrifice he was about to make to cover their sins. So Jesus transformed the Passover meal that was a remembrance to the Hebrews of God's rescue from Egyptian slavery. He transformed it into a new memorial, remembering God's deliverance of all mankind if they would put their faith in him, deliverance of all mankind from sin. This is the first purpose of the Lord's Supper. It's to help us never forget that Jesus died for us. The body represents, the bread represents his body that was brutally beaten. And the cup represents his blood that was shed both while he was being beaten and then later when he was nailed to a cross. When you eat that bread and drink that cup today, I want you to remember this. Jesus paid a dear sacrifice for our freedom. Jesus was struck in the head many times by brutal guards, brutal soldiers. They plucked the beard out of his face. They formed a crown made of thorns and shoved it on his hands to make mockery of him, of being king of the Jews. And then he was flogged mercilessly with a whip called a cat of nine tails. And the reason it's called a cat of nine tails, the Romans used this whip that had nine strands on it. And at the end of each strand were pieces of rock and metal and glass. And when Jesus was flogged with that whip, it literally tore all the flesh off of his back and sides. He was bleeding during that beating. And then after that, he was forced to carry his cross across town and up a hill called Golgotha, where they then crucified him. They laid the cross down on the ground, laid Jesus on it, drove spikes through his hands and his feet, and nailed him to that cross. Then they lifted that cross up and dropped it in a hole. The pain that he was going through was just immeasurable. He did that. He did that for you and for me out of love. That is the penalty. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, that's the death that Jesus died for us. We don't have to die that death if we believe in Jesus. I want you to write this down. This is so important to remember about the Lord's Supper. Always remember Jesus' great sacrifice to pay for your sins. You may want to write "my sins" in that blank instead, though, to make it more personal. We need to remember how bad it was for Jesus. But also how good it is for us. There's a reason why we call the Friday that Jesus died, when we commemorate the day Jesus died 3 days before Easter, there's a reason we call it Good Friday, because it was good for us. We have been delivered from sin. We have been rescued from its penalty, its death. Let the Lord's Supper remind you that when you put your faith in Jesus, listen, you are a slave to sin no more. All of us are slaves to sin until we step over the line of faith. But some of us don't realize that Jesus wants to free us, even from those things that we're slaves to right now. What are you a slave to? What do you need to be reminded that you've been set free from, that you don't have to be entrapped to? Perfectionism? Always trying to prove yourself to someone? Are you a slave to that? What are you a slave to? Are you a slave to trying to please others just so people will like you? Are you a slave to some kind of addiction, whether that be addiction of a substance abuse or pornography? What are you a slave to? Are you a slave to bitterness and anger over one of the many divisive issues that divided us over this past year? Are you a slave to thinking that your sins may not actually be forgiven? Listen, if you put your faith in Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he's forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future, once for all. You are forgiven. Listen, picture this. When you drink the cup and eat the bread, picture that Jesus' arms are spread wide for you on that cross, and it bars the way to hell, keeping you from going there. Instead, he ushers you towards into eternal life in him. And he gives you a hope that you also need to remember, which is the second purpose of the Lord's Supper. Turn in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians is to the right. If you're in your Bible, it's scrolling down. If you're reading that on your phone, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, we'll see that the Apostle Paul, when he was describing the Lord's Supper and kind of giving it a theological underpinning, he was repeating what Jesus said about the bread and the cup. And then at the end of this, when he's describing the Lord's Supper for the church in Corinth, he said this in verse 26. He said, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." That's the reminder. But here's something else. "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. Jesus promises to return to earth. Jesus' death in the past is remembered in the present, and it points to a future hope when we will join Jesus in heaven at a great feast. There's hope every time we take the Lord's Supper. Reminds us of what we have in the future. The Lord's Supper is a feast to the soul. One day Jesus will return to earth, not as a sacrificial lamb, not as a suffering servant. He's already done that. He will return to earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. He will take us to heaven, and we will sit down at a great banquet the Bible calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there Jesus, the groom, will celebrate the church, his bride, and he will remind us that we are going to be in eternity with him in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death. It's paradise. And that's the hope that we have. So also when you take the Lord's Supper today, look to the past and remember what Jesus did for you. But also look to the future with hope today. Look to the future with hope when you take the Lord's Supper, remembering that he has promised us that God works everything together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There's some good coming out of even the worst of the experiences that we go through. But ultimately, the hope we need to most hang on to is that hope of eternal life in heaven with Jesus. As we celebrate that future feast together, I want to invite all of you who hunger and thirst for something more than this world offers, something that God, a hunger God, has put in your hearts, to come and participate in this feast of life Jesus called abundant life, life in Jesus Christ. And remember that we will always be with Jesus. He is with us eternally in his presence when we step over the line of faith. Before we share the Lord's Supper, though, I want to speak to those of you who you've not joined our family, the family of God. You've not yet stepped over the line of faith. I would invite you to come and feast with us, not so much on this cup and this bread, but feast on the eternal life. You hunger, you thirst, and only Jesus can give you what you need and what you hunger and thirst for. Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you invited him to come and take control? The one thing that you can do, even Jesus gives you the faith that you can put in him. He will give you that faith, but you have to exercise it. You have to put your faith in Jesus. So if you're ready to do that, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer with me that'll help you step out of darkness and into light, to step out of death and into light. Would all of you bow your heads and close your eyes? And if you've already become a follower of Christ, pray for those who are considering that right now. But if I'm speaking to you, I know the reason I'm speaking to you is because God's Spirit is talking to you right now, saying, trust me, believe in me, turn your life over to me. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Just say, you can pray it in your heart. Just say, Jesus, thank you for making the great sacrifice of dying on a cross to pay the penalty of my sin. I need forgiveness. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Take control of my life. Wash my sins away. And give me a new life. I trust you. I will follow you from this point forward. I don't know what all it holds, but I trust you to lead me. Amen. If you just pray that simple prayer with me, I would encourage you to take a next step and let us know about it. If you take out your phone and just text the word faith to 95577, and we'll respond to you today. And we'll give you a link to a little video to watch. It'll just explain what you've done again so you can think it through. And then we want to start a conversation with you and help you continue to take next steps. And that next step after that would be to be baptized. We're going to be baptized. Randy will tell you about it in just a moment. We're going to baptize several people immediately following this service. But let us help you. Now, I want to invite all of you now. I hope you've gotten the Lord's Supper packet. If you haven't, I'm going to pray for just a moment, and then you still have one last time to run up and grab it either at the front or out there in the back. Let's pray. God, as we take this Lord's Supper, remember your son Jesus' sacrificial death. God, remind us of what a great price that you've paid, that you love the world so much you gave your only son for us. But God, also help us to look to the future with hope, knowing that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We trust you, Lord. We reverently now take the Lord's Supper with you. Amen.